recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad taking you through this beautiful Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's a big week in our city with the SEC tournament beginning play this week at Bridgestone Arena. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we bring in one of the best in the business, our good friend Jimmy Dykes from ESPN, the SEC Network. Jimmy, what's going on, man? Thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Hey, good morning. It's raining in Arkansas where I live, and I'm heading to Nashville tomorrow, so looking forward to being.
Absolutely. Going to be a fun week here in our city. And, Jimmy, it's an interesting week because it's just been this year in the SEC in terms of the consistency of play has been up and down, but I think that makes for a really intriguing tournament because you're not necessarily sure which way it's going to go. How intriguing is this SEC tournament in your eyes?
Well, just think about the number of games in the league this year that we've seen a Team A have a 16, 17, 18-point lead, and then Team A loses to Team B by 5 or 6. There's been some huge swings just within the games this year. And there was one last Tuesday. I had Tennessee at Kentucky, and Tennessee's down 17 in the second half. They come back and win by 8. And we've had several of those kind of games within league play. And I think it sets up for a meaningful tournament, obviously for those top 4 seeds, talking about Kentucky, Florida, Auburn, and Mississippi State. And then from there, you just kind of have to think, okay, who out of those other teams are going to make a charge, going to make a run, you know? And what I like about Kentucky, Florida, Auburn right now, I think they're playing really well. You know, for Kentucky to go on the road and be down like they were, there's another example on this past Saturday to come back against Florida and not have Ashton Hagans. I think it sets up from day one to be the most uncertain SEC tournament we have heading in, you know, with 4 teams right now that are pretty much guaranteed locks for the NCAA, and then so that 16 have to earn their way in, and that's going to make a lot of every game really meaningful from the get-go.
Does that number overall surprise you, Jimmy, at least compared to maybe what you thought going into the year about this league? I mean, I think this league is certainly come a long way in the last few years. Would 4, if that's what it is, if a Mississippi State doesn't play its way in or someone else, you know, doesn't come in and get the auto bid, would that be a disappointing year for this league?
Well, I think it would be, just in terms of the actual number, you know, but the 4 teams that we all agree are solidly in the tournament is Kentucky, Florida, Auburn, and LSU. Mississippi State is probably in that top 4 in terms of the next 4 out or next 4 out after that. So they have the best chance if they could just get to the finals. But it's surprising from the standpoint that the last couple of years the league's produced 7-8 teams to the NCAA tournament. But you just don't know, man, from one year to the next. You can never take that number for granted. And, you know, the SEC was not great in non-conference play this year. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. And a couple of leagues were. The Big Ten was outstanding. The Pac-12 was better than it's been. And the Big East has been terrific all season long from the opening tip. And those 3 leagues right there are getting more teams in this year than they traditionally have in the past. And the Big Ten sitting there with the possibility of 10 teams, maybe 11. So there have been some slots taken. We've seen Northern Iowa lose, and everyone thought that was a team that was going to be anyway. So the numbers haven't fallen well, but at the end of the day, the SEC, the non-conference play is what held them back initially. And then you just have so many top 30 or top 40 net wins within the league. So, but the league is really good, man. It's solid, and the recruiting classes continue to be there. We've seen the coaching hires in the past, but I thought, like everybody else, I thought we'd have, you know, 6 teams probably right now instead of 4.
Jimmy Dykes on the line with us from ESPN and the SEC Network. And, Jimmy, here locally, we've been kind of trying to figure out the Vols all year long and what they have exactly. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, they got crushed by Arkansas, and we said, you know what, that's probably it for his team. It's going to be really hard to make the tournament at that point. And then they win against Florida, like you said, with the comeback win against Kentucky before ultimately falling short over the weekend to Auburn. When you've watched the Vols play basketball this year and the up-and-down nature in which they've played, what have you seen?
Well, it's interesting. I think I had eight other games last year because they were on our Super Tuesday game a lot on ESPN and on our top game on Saturday. I didn't see Tennessee all year long this year until these last three games. So I saw them against Florida, had their game against Florida, had them against Kentucky, had them against Auburn. And in two of those games, they played terrific basketball against two really good teams. And it looked like going into that Auburn game Saturday that they were one more win away from moving into that, you know, first four out type group, talking to Joe Lunardi. And Auburn came into Thompson Bowling Arena on Saturday and probably played the best complete game Auburn's played all year. So to answer your question, Rick Barnes has done just a phenomenal job of having to remake his team three or four times this year because of injuries, guys leaving, guys the addition of a couple of international kids. So they have finally hit their groove. So that's a team that I look at right now. If they can win their first game in Nashville in that 8-9 matchup and then get another shot at number one seed Kentucky, it's still not out of the realm of possibility for them to work their way in, because how they play guys holds up on a neutral floor. They get the ball inside, and they get fouled, and they typically play terrific defense. So don't discount the Vols just yet. I know there's disappointing sorry for Tennessee fans, but I still think they're a team. If you're saying, Jimmy, give me a team outside of those top four that are guaranteed for the NCAA tournament to keep an eye on, I would say right there is Tennessee at the top of that list.
Yeah, in that Saturday game, Jimmy, I was surprised by some of the things I saw on the defensive end from Tennessee, because they've been pretty consistent there just in terms of, you know, not being in the gaps like they usually are. Or, you know, at some point you don't help off Samir Dowdy anymore. But I guess it's one of those things where sometimes the opponent plays so well, it gets you out of character, right?
Yeah, that was, I kept saying during the game, the biggest problem for Tennessee is they can't stay in front of the ball. Like the Auburn guys continue to just drive around that initial defender. And anytime that happens, it just puts a ton of pressure on every other spot on the floor defensively. And I think Auburn knew they had that advantage going in. I know they did. They felt like they could drive pretty much all five spots if they wanted to. And so it wasn't Tennessee's best defensive game, but it all started with their inability to defend the basketball. But you go back and think, wait a minute, this is the same Tennessee team that had a 17-point lead at Auburn just 3 weeks ago. I know they lost the lead, but it still tells you Tennessee's capable. They are capable of causing a problem for anybody in that tournament. So Auburn's good. I tweeted after the game that the Auburn team that I saw in Thompson Bowling Arena on Saturday, if that team continues to play and show up, they're a second weekend Sweet 16 team again. And once you get there, man, anything can happen, especially this year when there's really very little separation, guys, between the top 10 teams in college basketball and teams number 20 through 30, and whoever you think fits in those slots. So it sets up for some terrific conference tournaments this week across the country, and just a really, I think, memorable NCAA tournament coming up.
And, Jimmy, to that point, we were talking about the four teams pretty squarely in the NCAA tournament from the SEC: Kentucky, Auburn, LSU, and Florida. Of those four teams, which one do you think is the most dangerous as we get into NCAA tournament time coming up here in just a little bit?
Well, I think it's Kentucky and Auburn. Auburn just has they have a will about them and a belief at their core that they're going to win games in March. And that started last year, and they paid it off last year. And I think that still lingers in that locker room. I think it still lingers with Bruce Pearl. They know how to play in the biggest moments, and they have the pieces to do it. They have four or five key guys back from last year's Final Four run. I know what they lost, but I know what they brought back. They brought back a lot of dudes. It's the winningness senior class in the history of Auburn basketball that's on the floor right now for those guys. And I still have to think about Kentucky, just the adversity they hit on Saturday without Ashton Hagans on the road, down 17, 18 points, whatever it was, and come back and win. Like, so there's a competitive fire with those guys as well. Kentucky doesn't shoot the ball great from the outside. We know that. They're not the best rebounding team in terms of a Calipari-level rebounding team. And their point guard play has to hold up over four games to get to the Final Four. But those two teams right there, to me, I think are built to get further in the NCAA tournament this year than anybody else in the league.
On the other side of the bracket, Jimmy, you just mentioned competitive fire. I've personally been really impressed with Vanderbilt and Jerry Stackhouse's ability to keep his team playing. And here they come into this tournament, I think one of two teams on a winning streak coming into this league tournament. 14 seed playing Arkansas, which also, by the way, a team that I think could really be a problem for people this week. But what do you think about Jerry Stackhouse and the job he's done in his first year?
Yeah, I think, what, they won two in a row now, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's kind of odd that the last place team coming in has won two in a row. That doesn't happen very often in a major conference. So to your point, to keep those guys playing to win and listening and trying and growing and celebrating the wins like I've seen, that speaks pretty loud to how he's resonated with his kids. I'm a huge, huge fan of Saban Lee. There's not a guard in that league or in college basketball overall that's lost more games than Saban Lee has the last 2 years. When you look at their conference record last year and this year, man, he's just been knocked down, knocked down, knocked down, lost, 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 lost. And he just continues to play like they've gone 28-2 instead of 2-28 or whatever it is. And that's a testament to him as a kid, how hard he plays, how fiery and competitive it is. And, you know, I only did one Vanderbilt game this year. I believe it was against Kentucky, but I was impressed with what I saw from Coach Stackhouse. This is a league that will be determined. His success will be determined by how well he recruits, and that holds true for Nate Oates and Eric Musselman at Arkansas and Buzz Williams at A&M, the other first year guys in the league. Because you're not going to out coach anyone in this league. You're going to be able to hold your own with everybody in the league, and I think that's kind of how I view every coach in this league right now. They're all outstanding at the X's and O's and with their system. There's not a bad failed system in this group. It all boils down now to who's going to win the recruiting battle and the recruiting trail. And if Stack can do that, and he's got all the necessary ingredients to get Vanderbilt basketball back to where it was under Kevin Stallings, because it hadn't been close since he left. And that's back in the NCAA tournament and factoring in the SEC race and all those things. And that's a proud basketball campus. I've been in that building before when it was blaring high hot. You know, I wrote about it in my book, The Film Doesn't Lie. It's one of the chapters I talked about was Memorial Magic and how tough it is to communicate in there. So if he recruits, absolutely. And that's what we have to wait and see.
Jimmy Dykes from ESPN and the SEC Network has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Jimmy, thanks so much for taking time to come on with us, and have fun in our city later this week, okay?
Okay, guys. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem whatsoever.
That was good stuff.
Really good stuff from Jimmy Dykes. One of the best in the business. He's he's such a good dude, and just basketball, the way he analyzes the game, I enjoy the heck out of watching him on the broadcast.
Yep, he's one of my favorite analysts out there for sure.
When we come back, we'll look ahead to the SEC tournament this week and make a little bit out of what Jimmy said there. Are the Vols done? Do they have a chance to make a run this week in the SEC tournament? We'll get into that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Big weekend in the SEC in advance of the SEC tournament heading to our city this week. I think play beginning on Wednesday at Bridgestone Arena. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad taking you through this Monday morning. And Joe, that was a tough one for Tennessee over the weekend, an 85-63 loss to Auburn. And it was one of those things where Jimmy Dykes said it in our last segment, that Auburn played probably as well as it played all season long in that game. And the first thing I thought of after that game was over on Saturday was, man, that game at Auburn a couple weeks ago where you're up by 17, not winning that game, I think ultimately could be the difference in getting in the tournament or not for this Tennessee team.
Yeah, because that win would be such a
huge.
The resume would have, now you'd have two that you can say, look, committee, we went to Kentucky, we went to Auburn, we beat them both on the road. You telling me we can't come in this tournament and do damage? But you lost that, and then Saturday, very disappointing. For one thing, it's too bad, like, for Jordan Bowden's senior day, and it was cool that Lamonte Turner was out there, by the way. He was dressed,
yeah,
got honored. Those guys have done a ton for this program. It's too bad they couldn't go out with something better. And again, it had the Vols won Saturday, I think they'd be looking at this week. Like, certainly you got to do damage, but you don't necessarily have to get out of bed. I don't know that I agree with Jimmy Dykes. I mean, look, the committee is – it makes its decisions independent of all the bracketologists, whatever you want to call them.
They do.
All over the world. But it's hard to imagine Tennessee getting an at-large at this point. I guess, you know, you beat Alabama. That means you get Kentucky. The problem then is, you know, I guess you probably Mississippi State or Florida after that. I mean, I guess if you got another shot at Florida, okay, well now – that would be two good wins. I just don't know if that'd be enough. I think you still would probably have to win Sunday. And then the other side of the bracket, you know, it doesn't matter who you beat if you win Sunday. You get the automatic bid.
Right.
But it would be probably, you know, I guess Auburn or LSU would be, those are the 2-3. I think it's probably 4 and 4 days. And I don't know if the Vols have the kind of depth to win 4 games in 4 days.
No, it's going to be really tough. And, you know, they've been a difficult team to figure out all season long. You thought they were done after the Arkansas game. They battled their way back against Florida, won that game. The comeback win against Kentucky and set themselves up, I think, for a huge potential win this past Saturday. We're not able to get it. It's just one of those things where you look at this tournament and to win 4 games in 4 days that way, it's just going to be so tough to do for anybody, much less a team that, like you said, Joe, I think the depth has been a popular topic of conversation or lack thereof for Tennessee in the last couple of weeks. You know, Fulkerson, Bowden, Vescovi, all these guys, they're playing a ton of minutes. Asking them to be at a high level and win those amount of games in a short period of time, it's going to be really tough to do. I like their chances against Alabama. I think they're going to play well enough to win that game. And then you get another shot at Kentucky. And I'm just not sure, you know, back-to-back nights like that against a team as deep and as loaded as Kentucky is, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, a couple of interesting things said after the game by both coaches Saturday. Rick Barnes basically said, like, he regrets not playing some of those guys more than he did, some of those bench guys more than he did. Now, you know, Gaines is one guy who in some matchups has been really big for this team. In other matchups, he's barely seen the floor. He also, Rick Barnes also said, you know, I mean, this week, certainly that's happening. I mean, you have to try to, even though you're trying to survive each day, you also still have to try to have a long-term approach with your rotation. So you're playing Alabama, you got to force yourself to get some guys in early in the game to get some minutes just to keep the cumulative effect down in case you do make a run, so that by the time you get to the weekend, if you get there, you've got, you know, a little bit fresher legs that way. Another interesting thing said by Bruce Pearl. By the way, Bruce Pearl lives to heap misery on Tennessee basketball.
It has not gone well for Tennessee against him.
Yeah, you know, it's just amazing. I mean, what he took away an SEC championship 2 years ago.
Yep.
He, of course, they destroyed Tennessee. After Tennessee beat Kentucky in one of the best games I've ever covered, the semifinals last year in Bridgestone.
It was awesome.
Incredible game. And it's like they're rolling to – and actually, or did Auburn rob them of a share of the title last year and then that? Either way, they robbed them of a share of a regular season piece. And then, of course, the championship game, you're like, oh, the Vols are rolling to the – and then Auburn just torches them in the final. So Bruce Pearl – is taking out revenge frequently on
it's
Tennessee.
The barbecue revenge tour, baby.
Yeah,
he's back in there.
Yeah, he's putting them on a skewer. But
wow, that's rough.
He said after the game, you know, he talked a lot about Tennessee and, you know, it's been tough for them and all that stuff. But he said, you know, one thing, they don't have a true point guard. You know, that's one thing they need, which is an interesting comment. Now, offensively, I disagree. I think Santiago Vescovi is a point guard, and I think he's a point guard who can play good basketball in the league. But to Jimmy Dyke's points in the last segment, you know, defensively he got attacked, he got exposed. It's happened a lot. Big question for him for next year and moving forward is what can he do physically? And talking with Rick Barnes about this a couple weeks ago, off-season training, all that stuff, to get stronger, to work on that. He's got to be a better on-the-ball defender moving forward to be the point guard for this program.
Which team in the SEC, in your opinion, is the most dangerous come March? I think most people would probably split that vote between Kentucky and Auburn. Which kind of way would you lean as the NCAA tournament approaches? Who is the most dangerous heading into the
dangerous
NCAA tournament?
In the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
Oh, I think Kentucky's more reliable. I mean, look, Auburn looked awesome this past weekend. They also just lost at home to Texas A&M. I don't trust them. There's a lot of talent there, and when they get it rolling, hitting the three ball, they are fun to watch. They're scary. I don't trust them defensively. I know that they made a run last year, so it's hard to just say, hey, I mean, Bruce Pearl's a good coach. Yeah. But I trust Kentucky more. I think Kentucky, now they've got Ashton Hagans, quote unquote, personal reasons, left the team. And then there's a video of him on Twitter, and he's got like a stack of like hundreds in his hand. Like, what are you doing? You know, Calipari downplayed it, made it seem like he's coming back. That would be obviously a problem if they lose him. But if they get Hagans back with Quickly and Maxey and Richards and Montgomery, a lot of guys who play a lot of, you know, high pressure basketball, I think that's the most dangerous team out of this league.
Going to be interesting to watch this week in our city. I think it sets up for a pretty wide open tournament in a crazy year for the SEC where the consistency hasn't really been there. It's going to be interesting to see what unfolds this week at Bridgestone Arena. When we come back, we're going to be pleased to be joined by Casey Alexander, Belmont men's basketball coach. A huge win for them over the weekend, winning the OVC championship. We'll talk to him next about that as they look ahead to getting back into the NCAA tournament. That'll be next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic taking you through this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. You're scheduled to be joined shortly by Casey Alexander, Belmont men's basketball coach, after their big win against Murray State over the weekend. Joe, real quickly, as we're bringing Casey on here, you were there in Evansville. What was kind of the atmosphere like there?
Well, it's a great setup. I think it's a good place for the tournament, other than probably other teams in the league say, gosh, that's awfully close to Murray, Kentucky.
Yes, they
had a lot of people there. They had most of the arena, and I mean, basically it was a road environment, you know, for Belmont, but still, great atmosphere, and it was just an amazing basketball game. And in the last 2.5 minutes, I think you thought for sure one side and then the other side was going to win, you know? It was a great battle, and it really is it's one of the best rivalries out there.
Yeah, I mean, this is almost, it's becoming seemingly an annual occurrence in the OVC championship game between Murray State and Belmont. And remember last year, just the kind of the classic battle between Ja Morant and Murray State, getting the win over Belmont in that game. But Belmont able to get it done, a one-point win this time, and a game where, if you're watching it, I mean, it was edge-your-seat-level basketball. I thought it was an incredible game on Saturday night.
Yeah, and, you know, this is so Belmont and Murray State have now met 5 times. And, of course, Belmont's first year in the OVC was 2012-13.
Yep.
5 times in the title game. The first 2 times, Belmont won on last-second shots. And then the last two, which is the last 2 years before this, Murray really rolled. Now, they rolled last year with Belmont missing its big man,
correct,
Nick Mazinski. His ankle was blown up. He couldn't go. He dominated Saturday. 25 points in 25 minutes. If he didn't go out with his fourth foul with, I think, about 9.5 minutes left, he's probably in the 30s in that game, and maybe it doesn't go down to the wire.
No question about it. And to help us talk more about this, we bring in our friend Casey Alexander, Belmont men's basketball coach, to the microphone now. Casey, thanks so much for taking time to come on with us this morning.
Hey, I'm glad to do it.
Congrats on winning the championship over the weekend. Just what was that game against Murray State like from your vantage point, and what was it like to watch your guys come through in the big moments the way they were able to do it?
Yeah, it was a heck of a game, I'll tell you that. Anybody that watched that game had to have enjoyed it. You know, there were a lot of lead changes. The game was tied for much of the game. I mean, it was one of those where, you know, it was played within a margin of five, probably that window, us up by five at the most, them up by five at the most for a lot of the time. And so it's just a nail biter. Great game.
Now, I know, Casey, I tried to – you had one play called, and you had Nick Hopkins inbounding, and I tried to get you to say what it was. I assume this is something you're going to say for the NCAA tournament.
I hope you have a chance to use it.
Yeah, right. But the play that won the game, Liberty, and for anybody who doesn't know, college basketball coaches have playbooks. And then I think in any of those playbooks, you will see a bunch of plays named, you know, North Carolina, you know, whatever it is, you know, Liberty, Davidson, because you saw it or you saw part of it from another team. And you said, I like that. Let's take that and let's work on it. My question for you on Liberty is how much have you guys repped that? And then how much have you used that play in the game? For anybody who didn't see, it was a great backdoor play. Adam Kunkel driving left, Tyler Scanlon, perfect cut and pass to score the winning basket. How often have you actually used that?
I'd say we've probably run that play four or five times this season, all in critical moments. And, you know, they've all been second half, last 2 or 3 minutes of a game, situations where I felt like we had to have a basket. But it's been, I don't know if we've run it in several games, though, prior to that Murray State game. And so, now, how often we practice them, I mean, we've practiced it literally every day, every shoot-around. Every game day's practice, you know, we're going to go over those special situations real briefly, and then many other times as well. So it was definitely second nature for the players that were executing the action.
Belmont men's basketball coach Casey Alexander on the line with us. And, Casey, what's it been like from your vantage point to watch this group you have evolve and progress throughout this season and now playing their best basketball of the year? I think they've won 12 games in a row at this point.
Well, honestly, that's really the beauty of coaching is not necessarily, you know, having a 12-game winning streak and playing great right now, but it's just the beauty of going through a season, you know, and they're all different. Teams are all different. Your roster's different from year to year. Your injuries are different. Your schedule's different, you know. And so navigating your way through a long season, you know, that begins in the summer for us. I mean, our guys moved in June the 2nd, I think, to start with workouts and so forth. And, you know, to kind of get to the end of that and have a reward is obviously a blessing. And, you know, and I told the guys in the locker room, I said, you know, you're going to remember this moment for the rest of your life. And right now it's because we won the game, but really it's because of what you've done to get to right now where we've won the game.
You know, obviously this wasn't a monkey off your back, Casey, because, I mean, this is your first year as Belmont's coach, but you know, you kind of forget, I mean, Evansville has not been kind to Belmont, and, you know, there's been some upsets, and then, of course, the last 2 years, Murray State, you know, beating Belmont in the title game. And, of course, last year with Nick Mazinski sitting. But I guess how much have you heard from people around the Belmont community about, you know, just the excitement of, first of all, beating Murray, your rival, but to kind of win one in that building and, you know, bust through the front door, so to speak, after 5 years of not winning the OVC title?
Yeah, well, there's obviously a lot of excitement and jubilation that goes along with winning. But we'd all be lying if we didn't say there's also a little bit of a relief that comes from not losing. And I think that's probably what a little bit of the Belmont community is feeling right now. You know, this battle that we've had with Murray State for several years now is real. It's because both programs have been very good, and only one of us can win that game. And so coming out on top this year, we'll take it, run with it, and see what we can do with it.
Casey, Joe has mentioned the incredible play of Nick Mazinski in that game. What's it been like to watch him and coach him this year as he's turned into such a key player and always has been such a key player, but this year especially, just really dynamite for you guys when you need him the most?
Yeah, well, first I have to ask, are you guys criticizing me for keeping him on the bench over there with his fourth fouls or what?
No, we are not. Don't be an auto-bencher. Don't be an auto-bencher.
I'm kidding. You know what? I mean, Moose is, he's just so critical to our success. And, he's got a unique ability to score it inside over either shoulder and with either hand, which is very unconventional these days. You just don't see low-post guys that the team is willing to feed them the ball in the paint as much as we are, and we do that because he can deliver. But he's also a real high assist guy. Defenses, without doubt, defenses have to decide what they're going to do to guard our post before they make any other scouting decisions when they're playing Belmont.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think you guys, I guess if you go with the bracket people, you're probably looking at a 13-14. So that would mean looking at a 3-4 seed. But I don't even know if it matters in terms of this point. I mean, Casey, I don't think there's any team out there that you're going to see that is just going to be like, okay, we can just guard that guy with our post. We're fine. It seems to me like you with Mazinski, you've got an advantage and a player. You're going to have to force teams to react to it and give something else up.
Yeah, especially if he comes to play like he did with Murray in that championship game with Murray State, and we saw it last year in the tournament. I mean, in the Maryland game. I mean, Maryland has some really significant size and athleticism in there, and he was great in that game too, Maryland and Temple. So, so he's a nice weapon to have. You know, no matter what, whoever we play, it's going to be a challenge. But we've got some pieces that give us a fighting chance.
Talking with Casey Alexander, men's basketball coach for Belmont, the OVC championship-winning Belmont Bruins. Going to find out Sunday their NCAA destination. And last thing for you, Casey, I really enjoyed after the game, Rick Bird kind of trying to hang back, not trying to stay off to the side, but he comes on the court. You gave him a big hug, kind of lifted him up a little bit, and you tried to get him to cut the net. He wouldn't do it. But what was that whole, moment like for you to share that with him, and what has it been like, this transition overall?
Well, Coach Bird's really important to me personally, so it's been a great transition for me. And I think the him coming around early and us having the ability just to share a lot of conversations and thoughts, and I think he, as much as he has still tried to stay out of our way and make sure that he doesn't, in his mind, impose. I also think at the same time he feels very comfortable. It's the reason why he was at almost every game we played this season, or he watched it live on, on TV when we were out of town. And it's the reason why he was in Evansville. It's the reason why he came to the locker room both nights. This is still very much his program. It always will be.
Belmont men's basketball coach Casey Alexander has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Casey, congrats on the OVC championship. Good luck in the NCAA tournament, and thanks for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
My privilege, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, anytime. Casey. Really cool story in Belmont. I mean, they just continue to be, really kind of a gold standard around here in terms of how to build a program. I mean, obviously the OVC level is different from the SEC, but, Belmont year in and year out, they're so consistently good. I mean, you're talking about a team that is right in that NCAA tournament conversation every single year.
No, it's one of the best. Yeah, really, it's one of the best programs, especially when you consider everything about a program. Really, it's the best combination of academic performance and athletics out there, and it's a young team too. I mean, this is the foundation of this team is a bunch of sophomores and a freshman in Ben Shepherd, who's the next big-time player there. So, the future also looks really bright for this program.
No question about it. We'll get into what do we think the chances are for Belmont to put together a run once the NCAA tournament comes around. We'll talk about that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. What a crazy game that was, with Belmont winning the OVC title for the first time since 2015. with a win against Murray State over the weekend. Joe, you were there. And just from a casual viewer perspective, I think most people really start to tune into college basketball this time of year as you're getting into the conference championships, as the NCAA tournament is right around the corner. You're figuring out, all right, the brackets are coming up. Which team am I going to pick? Which way am I going to go in the brackets? You get a lot of your casual viewers, and I thought for the casual viewer, watching that game between Murray State and Belmont, it was awesome. It was just a great game to see, and Belmont comes away with the win in the OVC for the first time since 2015, which is kind of hard to believe when you think about how much success they've had as of late, that it's their first time winning their conference tournament since 2015.
Yeah, like you forget that. You know, they had a couple upsets. Of course, I think it was 2016, I think it was Austin Peay was the 8 and went all the way and won that thing. And then Jacksonville State upset Belmont the next year. And then, you know, Murray State was just better. Obviously, Murray State had John Morant last year. The OVC tournament was, you know, Magic Johnson was there last year because of John Morant. So it was a different level of circus. I still think Belmont absolutely could have won that game with a healthy Nick Mazinski, but you know, it didn't happen, and they got the at-large, which was really a program validation for Rick Byrd. But now, unbelievable game, that's an all-timer, and you know, the backdoor play, it's a Belmont thing anyway. You know, if you shoot the three that well, you're gonna have backdoor plays.
Yep.
You know, because teams are trying to chase you off the three line all the time. And so now they're looking at, you know, like we were talking with Casey Alexander, probably, you know, I guess a 13 or 14, which would mean they'd play, you know, maybe like a Wisconsin, an Oregon, a Louisville, a Michigan State, a Maryland, a Villanova, maybe a Duke. I mean, Joe Lunardi right now has 3 Duke against 14 Belmont in Greensboro for the first game. I tell you, this team absolutely, on a night when it's playing its best and hitting shots, you're going to have to hit the three ball to pull off an upset in this tournament. It can be very dangerous. If I'm one of those teams, 3-4 type team, I don't have a lot of excitement about seeing Belmont across from me. So a really interesting draw coming up. And in this, I mean, Robbie, you know, this is a great basketball state. The only other team we know for sure, I think for sure, that's going to be in it from this state would be East Tennessee State, ETSU, playing for the SoCon title today,
yep,
blowing everyone out.
Are they 29-4
29-4. And I believe playing Wofford, I think, for the SoCon title. They should be in anyway, whether they lose today or not. In fact, I think right now they look like, you know, like maybe a 10 seed even, which is awfully impressive for someone from the SoCon. That's a team that won at LSU that was very competitive at Kansas, which I think is pretty clearly the number one team going into the tournament. So that's really good. And then after that, you know, Lipscomb, great run yesterday, a great run all the way to yesterday to get to Liberty in the title game. They could not avenge last year's loss to Liberty at home, which is also a great game. You know, Liberty, you know, really controlled that game. But that's a really good season for Lenny Acuff in his first year with Lipscomb. And Asan Asajullah is one heck of a player for Lipscomb. Will be a junior next year.
Yep.
Other than that, we talked about Tennessee.
Memphis is there.
And then you got Memphis. You know, Memphis right now is not, I think, in the field. I don't know if they have to win the auto bid, but they certainly have to do a lot of damage in the AAC tournament. And just imagine if Memphis and Tennessee both miss, don't get bids. And if that's the case, they better freaking play in the NIT.
Oh, yes, because there is no love loss between those two programs.
That'd be fun.
Oh, gosh, it'd be fun. Penny, Rick Barnes, I'm here for it all day. The feud's going back and forth. I thought first off last year it was kind of petty by Penny Hardaway. But it is fun to see, like, the rivalry start. These two teams, they should play every year. They should play every year.
No doubt.
Whether it's in Knoxville, in Memphis, maybe a neutral site game here in Nashville. I mean, I think that would be awesome.
Well, next year,
it will be here. But it should be every single year that these two teams are playing each other.
I really hope, and I think Penny Hardaway, he did his best to try to sort of, you know, walk back on some stuff and be apologetic after the win in Thompson Bowling earlier this season. I really hope Rick Barnes decides to schedule that. I mean, look, we were just talking in the break, Robbie, about the NBA and about, you know, they're talking about starting later to try to be relevant, right? College basketball has tried to talk about that too. No, you know, you just said it. A lot of people tune in right around now. Yep. They don't watch. Now, I think college basketball is, I think if you like it, it's an incredible sport in like November, the holiday tournaments, Maui, and, you know, the Bahamas tournament, all these, and then the Champions Classic to start things off, which is every year is Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, Michigan State. That gives you like a good tournament right away. They've tried to do things, but it's still hard. There's one thing you can't do. If you're a program and you have a personal problem with someone or whatever, like you can't let that overcome what would be good for the game.
Yeah.
It would be good for college basketball in this state for those two teams to play every year. And so I hope they do. So maybe if the NIT committee puts them together, maybe they'll become friends.
Yes.
Through that Kumbaya process, and everything will be fine.
Yes, everything will be fine. They'll agree to a 10-year deal where they're playing every single year. What do you make of Belmont's chances when they get in the tournament? I know we don't know the matchup yet, but they're probably going to end up around the 13, 14 seed going up. You know, maybe gets a 3 seed, a 4 seed, somewhere in that area. To me, this year, it's impossible to really predict what's going to happen in the NCAA tournament every year. But to me, this year is just such a crapshoot in terms of the tournament as a whole, where you look at a team like Belmont, they've won 12 in a row. They're playing really well, playing together right now. Mazinski in the post, as you talked about and as we talked about with Casey Alexander in the last segment. They're a team that I think they could give a lot of teams fits because they have the post game that they can go to with Mazinski, but they can also shoot the three pretty complete offensively in what they're to do. Now, obviously, they don't have the same high-caliber athletes as some of these big programs have, but I think the way that they play in Belmont, that can be very dangerous, especially in a year like this where there's not a whole lot of separation in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're dangerous. You know, Grayson Murphy is just a do-everything point guard. You know, I mean, the guy's averaging like, you know, he's averaging 7.5 rebounds a game as a point guard.
As a point guard.
You know, 9-8 points, and then he's like 6-plus assists. That's really, really impressive. He's got to, you know, play great, of course. I mean, look, all these guys have to play their best in a game like that. But you've got Adam Kunkel as an elite shooter and scorer, to go with Mazinski. Those two guys are two guys that can play with anybody out
yep.
there. And then Tyler Scanlon, who had the game-winning basket. I mean, he's really been a huge addition at the four spot out of Boston University. He's a grad transfer. I watch this team sometimes, and I feel like they don't have enough shooting. But, I mean, the numbers, and they've got a lot of guys who are shooting, you know, mid to high 30s and have hit, you know, 25-plus threes. So, you know, it's got to be one of those games where you're just hot from outside. But that in that tournament, the favorites naturally – have a tightness about them,
yeah.
And the low seeded underdog teams naturally have a looseness about them. I mean,
the longer you can hang around in those games, the more doubt starts to creep in when you're the top seed, especially early on.
Exactly, and I mean, anybody around here remembers they had Duke.
They had
Duke a few years ago. Couldn't quite get it done. Of course, you know, Rick Byrd had so many, you know, NCAA teams and some really close calls, and then last year he beats Temple, gets that win, and man, they had Maryland on the ropes, and that backdoor play that worked to beat UCLA and Lipscomb last year, if it's not deflected, I think Grayson Murphy hits Dylan Windler, he scores the winner, and they move on and really might be in the Sweet 16 last year. And again, a lot of this team's back, not Windler, of course, you know, first round pick. That's a big loss, but I really like this team and the way they play defense now. And, yeah, look, you can probably look around and look at some of the other 13, 14, you know, Hofstra, Colgate, I don't know. I don't know anything about these teams.
Nope.
New Mexico State. I'd wager that if you took the threes and fours and you said, okay, rank in order these 13s and 14s that you'd rather see, I bet you Belmont comes in last.
Oh, I would say there's probably a 100% chance that would be the case. I've been so impressed with what Casey Alexander's been able to do. Look, it's not easy following a legend. I mean, you're a guy, He played for Rick Bird. Rick Bird's been there for a long time. Obviously, he's built an incredible program over at Belmont. There's some pressure coming in after that. I think Casey Alexander has handled it so well, obviously resulting in an OVC championship.
No, he's done really well, and it's there's no way it's easy. I mean, first of all, I mean, Lipscomb, this team we just talked about, had a great run. I mean, that's guys that he recruited to there. So you're leaving a rival to come to your alma mater to replace an all-time legend, and it's been, from what I can tell, seamless. And they are set up. You know, Casey Alexander is a guy who at some point people are going to come after him.
Yep.
I believe that. But this job might be such his dream job, and it's home for him that, you know, he might be there for a long time.
Yeah, and I'm certainly Belmont hopes that that's the case. When we come back, Darren McFarland from Darren, Donick, and Chase will join us. We'll get into a little Preds talk and Titans talk with him. That'll be next. But first, tune in this Wednesday night for Smashville Live at 7 p.m. This week's guest is SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. He'll join the show. Smashville Live is brought to you by Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. We'll be right back with Darren McFarland here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.